All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio on the Liberty Radio Network, streaming at LRN.fm. And I'm happy to welcome to the show Dr. Ron Paul. He's Congressman representing District 14 on Texas Gulf Coast and represents me in the House of Representatives. Welcome to the show, Ron. How are you doing?
Good, Scott. Good to be with you.
Well, I'm really happy to have you here. Now, let me tell you real quick here, if I can try to sum it up. I got a dream going on here where there's a real realignment in American political thought. I learned in junior college that in the 1930s, Roosevelt realigned everything. He got all the conservatives and almost all the liberals, town and country and black and white and East Coast, West Coast, and everybody together in this giant New Deal coalition. Kept him in power through four elections. And this was a giant sea change in the way American politics was from then on, as we all know. And this is what we need right now. And sure seems to me. And it also seems to me that the three most important issues, as you consistently identify, the preservation of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, an end to corporate welfare and bailouts for the richest and most powerful among us, and peace in our relationship with the rest of the world, are three issues that ought to, and in many ways do, completely transcend the left-right spectrum as it exists today. So my question for you is, what do you see as the future of this realignment? What do you see in terms of the possibility of alliances left-right, Tea Party, and progressive and libertarian, and otherwise, in order to really get these most important problems solved, sir?
Well, I hope your dream is coming about, because the media, the liberal media, has already written off the whole movement. They said, oh, it looks like the Tea Party movement, the disgruntled people of America who've been speaking out, I think they're claiming they peaked last August, and it's been downhill. They've had a few victories, but nobody cares about it anymore, and their crowds are smaller. So they went on, and they're trying to bury the whole notion that the American people are upset with the status quo of the Republican and the Democratic leadership. I can't make the prediction, but I'm very sympathetic to the idea that something like that is going on, because I do talk to a lot of people. And why I'm most enthusiastic is because the young people are thinking this way. The young people who are inheriting this mess know that they're not going to get, it's not a very good deal for them. And they don't like the war. They believe that we should follow the rules in the Constitution. They're principled people. And they don't like special interests. You know, they don't like, you know, corporate interests, you know, taking over. And the overriding issue of all this is that of finding out what the government is doing. Now, I think that was why audit the Fed became so popular with young people. They're sick and tired of the government being secretive. At the same time, the government works very hard to invade our privacy and what we do and how we spend our money. So it's ripe for a change, and I think in many ways the intellectual revolution is ongoing. It's probably at its early stages, but let's just hope we can keep this momentum going.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, everybody knows about your work with progressive Congressman from Florida, Alan Grayson, on the audit the Fed amendment, but you're also working with him on the War is Making You Poor Act. I was wondering if you could explain a little bit about what that is.
Yeah, he sort of grabbed, you know, an idea that I've been talking about, because he knows I would not support a bill that would you know, expand the welfare state back here at home. And he is a progressive, so he's for the medical bill and these other things. But he knew how to write a bill that would get me interested. And, of course, it was to save money from overseas and take that money and pay down the deficit. And it's pretty hard to turn that down, because that's pretty good. You know, this is where I think we should start. I think it's easier to start cutting the militaristic budget that we have and the idea that we have to police the world. More people are starting to wake up to this. At the same time, offer tax cuts. So that's pretty good for a liberal Democrat to go along with us on that. So that's why, you know, I do get criticized at times. Why do I even talk to Barney Frank, and why do I talk to Grayson, because they're so bad on economic policies? But, you know, and other things, hopefully the progressives will, their eyes will open up and say, hey, if they're right on civil liberties and they're right on the war, maybe we should pay more attention to the Federal Reserve and the gold standard and limited printing of money and deficits. And I think we're making some inroads. A lot of people that will support us will say, you know, I used to be, you know, a liberal. Or they'll say, I used to be a supply-sider. I used to be a neocon. And once they see the whole picture, they'll come and say, I think you guys have it right.
Right. Well, I know I've been getting emails lately from one of my most radical new listeners is a former military recruiter. So you're listening to anti-war radio, including a couple military officers listen. So you're right. You never know who you're going to win over. And it does seem to me like this War Is Making You Poor Act is the perfect left-right issue, really.
Yeah, that's
we'll
true.
Cut your income taxes.
Also, because there's no leadership on the left on this. You know, it used to be that it would all come from progressive Democrats and a few Republican conservatives. But now they're so much quieter with Obama in. That's why I think if we can bring them together with a coalition led by libertarian types, I think that we may make some progress.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now what about the Tea Party right? I mean, these were the people who pretty much supported the worst of the Bush policies that you always opposed. And yet the right is out of power now, and there's a lot of talk about the Constitution from kind of the other side of the Tea Party movement or whatever. Do you think that you could show them that the Bill of Rights is part of the Constitution too, maybe?
Yeah,
it'd
be nice. Sometimes I think that might be every bit as tougher, if not tougher, than getting a liberal Democrat to say this cut down on the war spending and cut taxes. That looks like it might be easier than converting some of these people into believing that we're still patriots if we say we ought to defend this country and not pretend that we can police the world. But that one is tough. But we do have, you know, some coming that way. If you take somebody like Jimmy Duncan, I mean, he is strictly old right Republican, and he's a fiscal conservative, and he doesn't believe that we should be involved. And, of course, Walter Jones has come over this way. So there are a few, but the really, really hardcore neocons, that's a real job for us.
Indeed. Well, you know, you've had a lot of great moments, but it seems like one of the very greatest was, I think, in 2007 when you introduced this American Freedom Agenda Act that said, everything wrong is hereby repealed. We're going to start getting it right. You think you might could try that again for 2010?
Yeah, we might just do that. Who knows? 2010, it would be nice if we did. You know, this amendment that I've introduced in the past, I haven't done recently, was the Liberty Amendment, you know. And that just eliminates everything is unconstitutional within 3 years and repeal the 16th Amendment. No income tax.
Wow. And so then that would be the Patriot Act and the Military Commissions Act of 2009 and all those things, too?
Everything is not explicitly authorized in Article 1, Section 8.
Oh, so we're talking about repealing the 20th century and the 21st, too.
Yeah, at least it's great symbolism for us, I guess. But, you know, most of this stuff is going to fail. How do you get rid of Keynesian economic intervention? Well, they take our country into bankruptcy, and everybody starts ignoring what the federal government's telling us to do. And I think it's already starting. This, I don't believe the laws are going to permit nullification, but just the failure of government will permit nullification. You know, the liberals don't like the feds telling them about marijuana, and the conservatives don't like them telling them about some of the conservative issues and school issues and things like this. So if the government is flat out broke, they might just be unable to stop the states from acting on their own.
You told the Washington Post back when you were running for president, and I know you were sort of half-joking, or maybe you weren't. You told them that we could protect this country with a couple of good submarines. You really think we need only that small of a military force to keep this country safe, sir?
Well, I really do, but I would still allow the militia sentiment to exist, so that if anybody ever tried to march on our shores, that everybody would be ready for them. But no, nobody's going to attack us. I mean, why are we building tanks and bomber aircraft? Those are, today, ancient weapons. I think we could do with a very small.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time on the show today, sir. I sure appreciate it.
Very good.